Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that as you listen, you will be encouraged in your journey and that your relationship with Father God will be strengthened and deepened. Here's this week's message from Pastor Claude.
We're talking on this topic of ingredients for healthy relationships. And last week I kind of talked on if you want to have healthy relationship, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you time and effort. And when it comes to healthy relationships, they don't happen in a vacuum. And we know that, right? If you want to have a healthy marriage, a healthy relationship with your children, there's some work that you do and things that you're called to address. And it's really linked to our personal growth. I believe that if I want to make a difference or if I want to have healthy relationship, it's going to start first of all in me as I let the Lord work in my heart and move in me. Does that make sense? Absolutely, right? And there's some topics or there's some ingredient that we don't see, like they're not shiny, they're not like flamboyant, it's not like wow, it's not glorious, but they're essential when it comes to our relationship. There's some aspect when it comes to what we need in a relationship that doesn't jump in your face, like you say, well, is it really important? And one ingredient I believe that is a necessity when it comes to having healthy relationship, it's to have humility. Can you say that to your neighbor? We all need humility. And when it comes to humility, it's not just that one time you receive humility, you understand humility, and then you're good for life. You're not good for life. It's something that you have every day you have to work on. Because one of the greatest enemy that we face, it's pride. St. Augustine said, the root of most sin is found in pride. And we look at Adam and Eve dealing with pride. We look at Lucifer dealing with pride when it came to the throne of God. So pride is a big deal. And one of the things that we need to embrace, that we're called to grow in, is humility. And there's a quote from Craig Rochelle. I saw it in many different places, but I thought it was pretty cool. I have a creative imagination, and I could see through this quote like a good illustration. It says, humility is the oil that relationships run on. Humility is the oil that relationship runs on. And I don't know if you ever ran out of oil in your engine. Well, usually it's not very good. How many of you have you ever run out of gas? Come on, be honest. Yeah. It's not bad, right? You get a jerry can and then you ask someone to give you a ride. Hopefully it's not too late and hopefully it's not too in the boonies, right? But then you're able to fill your gas tank back and then you're on your way. But when you have, if you run out of oil in your transmission, oil in your motor, it's not a good thing. I remember many years ago we had a Plymouth Horizon, little white car, 2.2 standard. And me and Micheline were going on a trip. We filled the back of that little hatchback. We went on and we are 2 hours in our trip that something happened. My motor stops, everything stops. And there was a leak in my transmission. And so I ran out of oil in my transmission and my vehicle died. Like you may have this beautiful engine, this awesome fancy car, like 12 cylinders, let's say. You know, two carbs. I don't know. I don't know nothing about cars. But you got that big brum, 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 you know? And then you have maybe some I don't know, shocks, air shocks. It looks fancy. It's beautiful. It's like people look at your car and they say, wow, 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 right? But imagine you have all this, an awesome car, like amazing car, but you don't have any oil in your motor. Like, we don't see the oil. We don't want to see it, right? It's not shiny. It's not chromey. It doesn't make any noise. It doesn't get attention. It's just on the bottom of a plate. It's in a motor hidden, but without it, nothing works. I believe it's the same thing when it comes to humility. When we look at humility, it's the heart of the gospel, where Jesus came, the Son of God, came and laid his life down, and he was crucified for his sin. The expression of God on earth is humility. One day he's going to come on a riding white horse. Woohoo! Right? Separate the sheep from the goats. He's going to come with a sword at hand, and he's going to bring judgment. It's going to be an amazing day. But the first time he came as a suffering Messiah. And under that banner of being a suffering Messiah, the key word is that he was humble. And if you want to experience Christ in your life in a personal way, you need to embrace humility. Because if you don't think you need a Savior, then you don't have a Savior, because the Savior talks about someone that comes to save someone, right? So if you don't need any saving, then you don't need a Savior. But the only way that you can have a Savior is when you understand that you need to be rescued, and that it's under the banner of humility. So same thing when it comes to others. If I want to have a relationship with others, I need to approach my relationship with humility, where I come with open hands and open heart, realizing that I don't see all things, that I don't understand all things, that I am not God. So then I approach people with an open heart. And also how I view myself is a big deal. I need to have a sober view of myself. I need to see myself, if I'm a believer, as a son and a daughter of the Lord. But I still don't see, I still see in part, and so I need to see God's intervention in my life. So when I don't have humility, I don't see God. When I don't have humility, I don't even see myself. When I don't have humility, I don't see my neighbor, because it's all about me. So humility is a huge factor. Look at your relationships. Look at your marriage. Look at your siblings or work people, people in your life. Look at those that don't have any humility. It's not fun, right? Those that are always right. Do you know people that they always top up your story? It's always big. It's always great. Always bigger than yours. It's hard, right, to have a relationship. Did you know that people that are humble draw people to them? Like, I'm drawn to someone that is humble. I'm not drawn to someone that is full of pride, that looks down at me, that have all the answer, that is not relatable. And so you look at Jesus, the Son of God, became relatable to us. Think about that for a moment. The maker of the universe took the form of a human to relate to us. Under the banner of humility. So if I relate to you and I want to walk with you, I need to embrace humility. Because if humility is not there, I won't be able to connect. First of all, I'm going to say this. If you don't embrace humility, you're keeping God out of your life. But you're also keeping others out of your life. Not having humility causes you to be alone. Causes you to be alone, separated from God, missing out on God, and also missing out on people. Because if you walk in pride, what's going to happen is you're going to blame the world. You're going to blame everyone for whatever, and you will never be able to look at your own cracks and your own issue. That's the beauty of humility. It's to admit our humanity. Can you tell your neighbor that you're human? Great revelation, right? I'm human. I'm human. So I've got cracks in my life. So I've got to approach you with a towel, like what Jesus did in John chapter 13. Teaches us to come with a towel, not with a sword. To approach one another with a towel. To approach my marriage with a towel. To approach my siblings with a towel. Other believers with a towel. You know, if you approach this, Jesus says, well, James talks about it, Paul talks about it, that God will lift you up if you choose humility. So humility is a big deal, and we need humility. If you look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, example of how humility is a big deal. So it says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. See the two differences? One that says, I'm broken, I need help, forgive my sin. And the other says, I'm fine, I'm good, I'm fine. I don't need to be rescued. One comes out forgiven and the other not. Look what he says in verse 10. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word has no place in our lives. So it's not that you walk in condemnation. Listen, it's not that you walk a life where you're never worthy, but it's walking a life understanding that you need God in your life to work through you, work in you, and when you are in relationship, that you approach it with a tender heart. I look at the example of Jesus in Mark chapter 10, verse 43. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be the first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So that is the ultimate picture of humility. He came to serve. He came to give. He came to focus on others. He forgot about himself, and he came and he invested in others. And so that's what we want to see in our lives. People, humility is not seen, but it's essential for deep and real relationship. Otherwise, it's just going to be superficial. There's misconceptions of humility. Humility doesn't mean weakness. It doesn't mean insecurity. It's not linked to timidity. Actually, humility is a sign of confidence or self-assurance. You're rooted in Christ. And that's why Jesus was able to wash the feet of his disciple. And Peter was saying, no, I don't want you to wash my feet. And Peter saw Jesus as a master. But Jesus was able, even though he was a master, to go down and wash the feet of his disciples. It was not about trying to it was not about pleasing man. He didn't care what people thought. He didn't care if people would see him as not as important to wash the feet of his disciples, because that was a lowly job to wash the feet of someone else. And so Jesus was not afraid to do that because he was confident. He knew where he came from. He knew who he was. So humility is not a sign of weakness. It's the opposite. It's not passive. It's not fear-based. Actually, there's a difference between insecurity and humility. And sometimes we treat insecurity like humility, but it's not. Insecurity is, I can't do it. I just can't. I won't move. I'm done. Humility is, I can't do it on my own. I need you, Lord. You find yourself in places sometimes where you come at a crossroad or you come at a dead end and you call to God, God, I need you. I can't do this on my own. That's humility. Humility is when you know that you can't do it on your own, but you turn to God. It's like the story of Moses in Exodus chapter 4, where he tells Yahweh that, who am I for you to send me and send someone else? When Moses said that, it was not humility, it was insecurity. God had a call upon his life. And God was not expecting Moses to do it on his own. He expected Moses to rely on God. But what Moses saw was his insecurity. I can't do it, but the I am in you and with you can, right? And so humility is to express our need of God. Humility is not to be assumed. It's always a choice. And I believe sometimes circumstances comes our way and reminds us of our humanity. And causes us to depend on him. Sometimes we go through rough time, and you know what it causes you to do? It causes you to go at his feet and call upon him. To get up in the morning and say, Jesus, I can't do this alone today. I need you. And you call upon the Lord. And what happens when you do this, there's a breaking that happens in your life. There's a dependence that is developed in your life on God. And that's what we want to see. I think about the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Well, this amazing man of God, this giant in the faith, he goes before God. He says, I have a thorn in the flesh. Jesus, can you remove the thorn in the flesh? And you know the story, three times he says, I asked the Lord to remove the thorn in the flesh, and the Lord said, no, in your weakness you'll be strong. And so Jesus goes to, Paul goes to Jesus, and Jesus says, hey, you know what? That will cause you to be dependent on me. Like, if I don't embrace, listen to this, if I don't embrace humility, I will grow in bitterness. Like, imagine if Paul would have not submitted to the word of Christ, it would have been bitter at God. God, how come this? How come that? He came under, and he realized, as he humbled himself, God made a way. And through his weakness, he was effective as he depended on God. It's the same thing when it comes to a relationship. If I depend on you, let's say, for example, if my goal, or if in my life, like I'm called to depend on God, if I expect you to do stuff for me and I'm not willing to be humble, I'm going to miss out on what God has for me. So it's important to remember that if I refuse to embrace humility, it'll cause me to be bitter. Bitter in my relationship, because the reality is my world won't be perfect. So what am I going to do, right? So what is humility? Humility is a posture of the heart that acknowledges dependence on God and values others above oneself. It's a posture of the heart. Humility is the posture of the heart. Like I said with the oil, you don't see it, but it's a posture of the heart that acknowledges dependence on God and values others above oneself. And we find this picture in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 of Jesus. And he tells us to walk in the same step, where he says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking at your own interest, but each of you to the interest of the others. And I think it's so cool when you see this. And we look at the end, we look at the end result, it's amazing. We know that God raised Jesus from the dead, and we know there's life after life. And so we want to follow Jesus, and we want to make a difference in the life of others. And one of the ways to do that is to embrace humility. It's not easy. Humility is valuing others above ourselves. And this is where we need the help of the Holy Spirit. But I need to set my heart on this. I need to pray about it. I need to aim for that. I like what C.S. Lewis says about this. He says, humility enables us to forget ourselves and turn outward in love. Can you say to your neighbor, outward? Outward in love. It liberates us from self-absorption and opens up space for greater communion with God and others. That's what humility does. Like, humility is acknowledging that I need God. And like I said, we go through circumstances that causes us to depend on God. And we don't like it, but sometimes it's a good thing, because this is where we see God move in our lives. Humility causes me to treat others with grace, knowing my own shortcomings. Talking about, I didn't talk to my wife about this, but she doesn't have a choice now. I'll use the illustration. It's one time she left the groceries in the car. And so the next morning I go and I say to Michelle, nah, come on, like the groceries in the car. Nah, 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 nah. 2 weeks later, I forget the groceries in the car. And one time she left the water on, and it spilled over. Like, oh, come on, you can't do too many things at the same time. A few weeks later, it happened to me. And you know, I never told her that, but every time, but every time that I complain, I pick at her in a situation, it happens to me. It's funny how that works, right? And so that causes me to have more grace, right? Because if I don't, it's going to happen to me in the future. So then I say, it happens to everyone. It's fine. It's okay. So then when it happens to me, she'll see the same thing to me, right? And so, got to treat others with grace. Treat others with grace. Like, knowing your own shortcomings. Like, the last thing you want to do is, it's just to look at the errors of others. Realize that you need grace. I really think that humility is remembering where we're from. I was saved by grace. You know, I was talking to a pastor friend, and we were talking last week about what are the things that are encouraging and what's happening in your life. And he was saying, he said he had an encounter with this new guy that gave his life to the Lord, and from scratch gave his life to the Lord. And the guy came in church with it. Well, he went home and he was telling his mother that he gave his life to the Lord. And then he came to church, he had a big smile, and this pastor says, So why are you so joyful? I gave my life to the Lord. I'm saved. I'm saved. And the pastor friend of mine said, I just was hit. This guy is so pumped to be saved. And here I am, I've been saved for the last so many years, and I kind of lost the joy of my salvation. You know, I think that humility is linked to remembering where we're from. Because if we remember how lost we are, and if we grew and we saw the blessings of the Lord, it's because of Him. But the reality is that we were all in the same boat. We were all in need of the gospel. And Psalm 51 verse 12 says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you." And sometimes we forget where we're from, and then we judge. You know, we shoot from up there, and you look down, and you have solution for all the problems of other people. But when you remember where you're from, there's a little bit more grace. Humility causes me to have a sober judgment of myself, and Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 12 verse 3. He says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you." That's so freeing when we live like that. If I see a pastor that has more success, more influence, and good for him, bless you, and I'm able to rejoice over what is happening in his life, what I'm called to do is rejoice for what I have in my life and to walk with this thought that everything comes from God. I like what Andrew Murray says. "The humble man feels no jealousy or envy. He can praise God when others are preferred and blessed before him." Because it's not about him. You know, he's not caught by his own need. His eyes are for others. Are you drawn to people that are humble? I have a test here. Are you drawn to people that walk in pride? No. Like when people know everything and they are always moralizing you and they're shooting from up there and they're living looking down? No. But are you drawn to people that are humble? That look you in the eyes and ask you questions, that you feel valued, you feel important, you feel like you can have a connection, where they come to you with open hands, that they're not defensive, they don't have a sword in their hands, they come to relate with you. Like, I believe that when it comes to our witness in our community, humility is a big deal. When you walk in humility, you'll draw people to you, because people, they will relate to you. And actually, that's what Jesus did. He related to us by becoming human and walking on earth. And so we're called to embrace humility. Like, humility is understanding the Nicene part and I know in part. We find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. Like, we see in part, we know in part. So I don't know exactly what you're going through. I don't know exactly where you are. So I'm not called to judge you. I'm called to walk alongside of you. I'm called to try to understand where you're at, where I have an open heart and open ears. I really believe that humility causes me to learn and to listen. And as Proverbs 11 verse 2 says, "When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom." Like, it's to always learn, right? We should always learn. Did you notice the more you know, the more you realize you don't know? Right? And so we want to have an open heart and open mind. We want to have this oil in our lives. Humility is the antidote for pride. It really is. Pride is thinking too highly of oneself and relies on your own strength instead of trusting God. I believe that pride blinds me to my weaknesses and causes division in relationship. Pride causes us to expect people to do things for us. Humility is the opposite. Humility is you do things for people. You serve, you wash the feet of other people. It says in Proverbs 16, verse 18, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. So when you embrace pride, when you walk in pride, you're saying no to God. You're saying no to look at yourself. And then you say no to the value of the people that are around you. It's a big deal. It's really a big deal. And if you want to know about pride and humility, look, read the Proverbs. I would have had like so many verses on that in the book of Proverbs, because it's central for our relationship with God and our relationship with others. I tell you that if you humble yourself in your marriage, if you humble yourself with believers, you humble yourself with your family, it's going to make a huge difference. I like what it says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Listen to that. Let that verse, these verses soak in. All of you, that's all of us, clothe yourself with humility toward one another. Why? Because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God opposes the proud. Wow. He comes against those that are proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And look what he says, humble yourselves, therefore, before them, under the mighty hand of God, and that he may lift you up in due time. Can you say that to your neighbor? In due time, he will lift me up. In due time. Due time. So you sow humility. There's going to be a harvest. There's going to be a harvest when you sow humility. It's going to make a difference in your relationship. It changes, it changes the scars when you choose humility. It's way easier to look at pride and to defend ourselves and to fight back. But, you know, I think about Jesus. His arms were wide open when he died on the cross. And he gave his life with humility. And Proverbs 13, verse 10 says, pride only breeds quarrels, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. So taking advice, you need to be humble, right? Someone that doesn't want to take advice will be walking in pride. And pride only breeds quarrels, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. So when you choose humility, you're gonna see healing in your relationship. Like I said a while ago, humility is a choice. It's really a choice that I decide to take. It's kind of a coat I want to wear. Will I wear humility or will I wear pride? But there's going to be consequences to that. If you choose to walk in pride in your relationship, you will reap that. You will reap the consequence of pride. But if you choose to embrace humility and you want to be like the Christ that walked in humility, you'll see significant changes in your relationship. I really believe that. We have this call from Micah chapter 6, verse 8. And what the Lord, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before your God. And that's what we're called to be. As believers, we should walk in humility as our Jesus did. Amen? I would ask you to stand. Now, maybe you're here this morning, and you're disconnected with God. Really, you are. Maybe people don't even know around you that you're disconnected with God. And you're just going through the motion. And you're not seeing your need of Jesus in your life like before. I invite you to call to Jesus. Like I read in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive him. You know, that is linked to humility. It's to admit, to come, to be vulnerable. And as you come before God, as vulnerable, when you come before for God, just you, and you say, God, come to my rescue, save me. This is where he comes in. He responds to humility. And when you look at your relationships around, choose humility. Lord, help me to choose humility. Help me to choose humility. Help me to see myself in the equation and not just to blame, but to see what you want to do in me, Father. I pray, Father, that we would not buy into pride, but that we would let our heart be fashioned by your Spirit. Lord, we want healthy relationships. And you gave us this plan, these ingredients in your word. And one that is on the top is humility. So help us, Lord, to walk in humility with an open heart, with open hands. So I just pray, Father, for your blessing on your people, to know that they would know that you are always available under the banner of humility, that healthy relationship happens in humility. So Father, I just pray that you would be glorified in our lives and that you would be glorified in our relationships. I just want you to take a moment right now and think about your relationships. Just think about the people in your life, around your life. And think about, what if you would put humility in it? What would happen? Think about your people at work, people in your family, your kids, whoever it might be. Just see, just for a moment, think about what would happen if you would bring humility in the mix. Yes, Lord. The humility of Jesus brought me to Him. Father, let me be an extension of that awesome love and example. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.